Well, the Christmas story has gone out over a great many loudspeakers in the last few weeks, and many, many television programs. And of course, today the clergy has had a field day with it. Still, it is it abides because it bears working with. It's a timeless, ageless sort of thing that kind of gets the simplicity of it is what gets hold of people, I think. But of course, the great hazard of it, like the hazard of the frequent saluting of the flag, we go over it without stopping to think too much of the things that are being said in this narrative about Christ. And the thing that has most recently been coming through to me is the promise of that very first announcement, which promise very few people believe, very few people act on or accept or believe is possible for them. The very first words that were spoken by the angels who were messengers of God were that we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then he goes on to speak of peace on earth toward men. The interesting thing here is that most people greet the gospel with a groan. I mean, the angels say that we've come to bring tidings of joy to everyone. But religion of all subjects on earth is placed in the category of that obligation to ourselves or to our mothers or whatever that we are all imposed upon. And so people take themselves wearily to church, drop their pennies in the offering plate with some grimace. The whole thing seems to be just one of those obligations that we pretty well have to do something about in life. Well, it's a very unfortunate thing, because Christ came to offer us the most sought-after commodity in the world, which is a joy, or a happiness, some people call it. I do a great deal of counseling. People, Christian and non-Christian, often ask, what is it that you're trying to get out of life? Of course, that's your first question, because you don't know how to handle your problems unless you have first decided what life is all about. Until you know where you're going, you can't very well identify how you're getting there. Almost invariably, people will say, well, I want happiness. I would say probably 90 out of 100 people, at least, that I ask this question. Now, here in glaring reality is the promise, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just to the shepherds or the Jews or magi from the east, but a joy for all people. Now, when these people that I'm talking to you about tell me they want happiness, and I begin to find out how they're seeking it, this is the last place they're seeking it. They're finding it or trying to find it in building a nice family unit or getting the right kind of position. Usually, if you say, no, well, they say, I want happiness. So you ask them, well, tell me a little bit about how you're going after this, you know. Well, I plan to finish my schooling and do this and this and this, or, well, I'm building my family, or, you know, it's almost anything but the right thing, which is I'm looking for it inside. I'm looking for it in the building of my spirit. Because, of course, we face the great issue, are we animals or men? Are we going to have a little quick shot on the earth and that's all? Or is there something more noble about a man that ties him up with a universe that is eternal? Well, if you believe that the spirit is eternal, that it is ongoing, that there is something more to it, that it has its connection with the total universe, and it isn't just an isolated varmint on the earth, some little vermin crawling about in this sphere, once you decide that the spirit is something ongoing and eternal, then you have to do something about it. Because while a jackrabbit can gamble about in the pasture until he drops dead from a bullet or starvation or whatever, while a rabbit can do that, a man cannot do that. It's far too much at stake. So he seeks for something more. I've never had an interview with a deer, but I presume that they are not seeking for any great and noble enterprises in the earth, or a dog, or a horse. Normally speaking, you don't find animals setting up goals and objectives and so forth in life, because it just isn't within their framework. That's what differs. What's the difference between an animal and a man? There is something within the man that reaches out for identity in the universe. And the idea of just falling into a hole in the ground to become elements of the earth again is something that the mind pretty well rejects. The person who doesn't actually accept ongoing life at least does not think about that much. They don't dare. So we may establish for a moment the fact that there is this spirit of ours that has got to be cultivated, and that God appeals to that spirit by talking about joy. He did not come to the earth with the happy message that he was going to make everybody rich. So he wasn't appealing to the body. He made no promises of that whatsoever. He said, "I came to bring you joy." Now, I venture to say that any rich man in this world, and you can talk about anybody in this earth that may have money of any kind or position or power or whatever, especially the people with money, would tell you they would swap everything they had for joy. Because it's pretty thin, you see, this material substance. So Christ did not appeal to that aspect of life to give everybody riches, but he did offer the greatest commodity, which is joy. And he offered it very freely. He made no exceptions here or provisions for it. He didn't say, "I will bring you joy if provided you have enough money or provided you have enough friends or anything like that." He just said, "I bring you tidings of joy for everyone." Now that joy is out there for all of you, for everyone. Now we're in a season of the year when everybody's talking about joy, joy to the world and so forth. By the time the badgered spirits get to Christmas Day, there isn't a whole lot of joy lying around much. You know, everybody's hassled and harassed doing their thing at Christmas time, but not too much with great joy, you know. They're doing their thing. They're buying the presents, and they're hoping that it'll bring somebody a little happiness. I seem to feel that people are desperately trying to wring out a little happiness out of this season. Desperately. And I think, again, as I've said in some other meetings, this young woman expressed to me, you know, that here she spent weeks buying these presents and wrapping them, everything, and putting them out there, and in 10 minutes the kids had gone all the way through them and were outside playing with the neighbors. And it seemed like a pretty fruitless task, you know. And she was saying, "How can I get some joy back into this whole thing?" And that's the position of most people. I think Christmas Day is probably an anticlimax. With all these weeks of preparation, with expectations, you think how great Christmas Day is going to be. But it's a myth for the most part, because you hit the day and you go through it like a snowplow, and then you come to the end of the day, and there's this great letdown, you know, whoosh, everything's gone out. You say to yourself, "For what?" And Ma's got a headache, and Pa's got an ache in his wallet, and the kids are all disappointed and squealing around because they broke up their new toys or they didn't get exactly what they wanted. I'm mentioning that I think you can see in people's hearts, for all of the commercialism and everything else, that they're just trying to wring a little bit of happiness out of this day, and there isn't very much in it for most of them to get. And there are a lot of people, of course, who never even know what day it is, from the Christmas party on the afternoon before Christmas until the day after Christmas is over. They don't even know which planet they're on. So for them, of course, it's all a myth. It's all a farce. But now, the Bible makes some things very, very clear. You can capture the quiet satisfaction of a life well lived every day of your life. You can come to the end of that day feeling that life was worthwhile today. And that is true whatever the circumstances you may be in, or whatever the pains that may get hold upon your life, and there are many, still you can come to the end of every day with a feeling that this day has been well lived. You have met your problems. You have not turned aside from reality. And these very things can become a great source of satisfaction to you. Now, the Bible says that there is joy for you every day of your life. And there is satisfaction every day of your life. A few very simple principles. Anyone can follow them. Basic, of course, is faith. To move out expecting God to function in your life. Each day can become a great adventure to you. You don't have to have any great feelings, but just open the day by meeting the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether you really had a lot of experience with him or not. Just open the day and say, all right, Lord, you said it, your word, so here it is. Go out in the day expecting God to help you. Of course, these things presuppose the fact of God himself, that we're presupposing it. The joy, there is no way in this world that you can find joy. No way whatsoever, unless you hook up with the most essential meaning to the universe, which is God. That much is true. So, you will find joy in your heart in the measure that you find Christ in your life's experiences. When you come up against the problems of each day, and they can be pretty stiff, and I go through them, I'm not one whit behind any of you in the depth and difficulty of the problems I face, but you find Christ in the eye of the storm. You say, well, that's too much to ask. Well, maybe it is, but if you want joy, you're going to have to do it. If you want to struggle along with this life by yourself, go ahead. Christ says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. His joy. Now, if you find Christ in all of your life's experiences, you'll find his joy there. Even the problems? Yes, the problems. Whatever you face each day, you face it in the name of Christ. You say, well, here's a point at which Christ wants to show me something. I've got a problem. He wants to show me that he can handle it. So turn it over to him. Then another element is the relationship to others. He says, I came to bring peace on earth to men of goodwill. For example, this matter of goodwill. Benevolent attitude toward others, reaching out toward others. Of course, this is what he means when he says, love your enemy, love your neighbor. Not a sentimental kind of human feeling, but caring, consideration, concern for others. Reach out to others. And so Christ gives the illustration. Here's the Samaritan that goes down and helps a man that's been beaten and robbed, and he takes him to the inn, and he sees to his wounds and so forth. No, nothing sentimental here. He doesn't take him home to dinner or anything else. Just meets his needs. He cares. But relate to others, you see. Start thinking about how you can provide joy for somebody else. Not just rushing down to the department store and buying a bottle of perfume, and you know. But how can you really bring joy to somebody? How many Christmas days are wrecked by somebody just being ornery? Just orneriness. I've seen it wreck more Christmases than anything in the world. Negative attitudes, jumping on each other, just plain cussedness. I was talking to teenagers at school about this. You hold in your hand sometimes the ability to either make that day happy or miserable. You start throwing fits and tantrums and you don't like this and you don't like that and all this kind of jazz, you're going to make the day miserable. Why don't you make it happy for somebody? You don't need to give them a present. Just make the day happy. That's present enough. It's your attitude that makes it happy. It isn't what you've got or don't have. It's how you look at things and people. So if you can think in terms this Christmas, not of, gee, it's too commercial or it's costing too much money or it's such a hassle buying a present, all that kind of stuff. Just forget all of that jazz. And just start thinking, how can I make my family happy? What can I do for them? Doesn't take a lot. Just show you care. Make a batch of fudge. Take it over to that crabby neighbor of yours. Maybe you might give them a little joy in their lives. Anything, just to show that you care. Write a card out. haven't got any money this Christmas, but I just want you to know that I care. That's all. That'd be a lot better Christmas card than a lot of them that we send out, you know. Just take a piece of paper and say, look, I just want you to know I care. I really love you. Merry Christmas. Stick it in an envelope and send it out. They'd probably like it a lot more. Now, the Lord says, in many passages in the New Testament, one of the secrets of joy is people. Not because people are any good, but if you have a right attitude toward them, you're going to find joy. You're always going around hurting somebody, and there are people like that. There are people who all of their life long hurt somebody, make life tough for people. I know people like that, husbands, wives, children, grandmothers, mothers-in-law, and so forth. All of their life, they make somebody unhappy by their bullheadedness, their stubbornness, their inflexibility, critical attitude. We criticize and judge and kick people around. You're never going to find any joy doing that. Of course, you might as well realize right now that if you're trying to find joy in yourself, that's a real dead-end street, because yourself is the hardest taskmaster of all. There's no one in this world that'll keep you more to the grindstone than yourself, because yourself is never satisfied. No matter how much you do for yourself, you want more. So give that up right now. But find your joy in giving to others. The Bible says, freely you've received, freely give. Give of yourself. Maybe just being pleasant to somebody is a tougher gift for you to give than buying them something. Just be pleasant. Write a note to your wife or your husband and say, gee, I just want you to know I love you. Sign it, Honey Fitz or whatever your name is. See? Two of the classes where I was up north in this place, counseling with this man and his wife. Things were just going down and down and down, the old vicious cycle, you know. And so I began talking to the wife, for example, about what qualities her husband had. And there were a lot of things she appreciated in him. You know, she said, well, he does this and this. I said, when did you ever tell him that you appreciated him? Never. She never told that man the things she liked about him. But every time he got home at night, she hit him with all the things he wasn't doing right. The interesting thing is, I asked him the same question. I mean, he said to me, well, I really love my wife. I miss her when she's not around, even though we're fighting or whatever. So when did you ever tell her that? Never. So just give. If you give, you'll have joy. If you don't give, you'll be miserable. That's just there. It's simple. You see, some of these principles we're expressing are right in the Word of God, very easy to get hold of. You don't need to say, well, it's your interpretation. There's no alternate interpretation to love. Just love. That is care, concern, consideration. God loved the world. Now you love it with Him. How? Just to care. You don't have to feel great, wonderful feelings about everybody, but just care and give. And you'll find joy. Now, this may be hard, but the other kind of life is harder. It's a hard thing to face the things that you need to do to find joy, but it's a harder thing to face the things that you get for not doing these things. The misery, the wretchedness, the unhappiness you breed within yourself. Negativism breeds negativism. A critical spirit breeds criticism and breeds unhappiness. But I see in most families nothing else but criticism. Just hacking away at each other all week long, just hacking away. You don't do this, you don't do that. I wish you'd do this, and I wish you'd do that. Just some little thing would be so great. The wife could tuck a note in the husband's lunch bucket and say, just want you to know I love you. See, now what that would do to that man's day would be tremendous. And what it would do for you. When he got home, he might be even more anxious to come home at night. I've often said if a woman wants her husband to come home at night, she should make it better to come home than to go anyplace else. And vice versa, you know. If the man wants his wife around, he should make it pleasant for her to be around. See, these are simple little secrets or simple little things, but the Bible says, the angel said, we came to bring you joy. But we're so busy trying to find happiness that we miss it. Because we try to find happiness in self-satisfaction. Always self. We don't stop to think much about the family. It's always, what am I getting out of this thing? What are my rights? All that sort of thing. Talk to the Lord. Talk about the things your family and friends need. Ask him for this person that's in difficulty and that person that's in difficulty. This problem. Just talk to the Lord. Guilt is a big thing. We all go around with problems. We fail to do this or that. But the grace of Christ cares for this. And whenever you offend him or somebody else, you ask his forgiveness. You keep the slate clean, you see. That's important for joy. You got to keep the slate clean, because the Lord said, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. If our heart condemn us not, then do we have the things that we asked for of him. In other words, if you pray and your heart is condemning you, you got to get this matter taken care of. Ask his forgiveness. Straighten the matter out. But Christ takes care of this guilt problem, which plagues a lot of people in these days. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word of truth. Very simple, yet very profound. May we so live that we plant the seeds that will reap the harvest of joy as we walk with Christ on this earth. In his name we pray. Amen.